97.9 FM and 1360 AM, along with Southern Season, present Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper. Listen over the next 30 minutes as Jay White and Liz Cooper present the Chapel Hill Carrboro community with insights from the world of culinary, local and national farming, and so much more. Side Dish is brought to you by Southern Season, Chapel Hill's landmark gourmet emporium. Great for local gifts and delicious favorites. Visit them online at southernseason.com. And now, here's your host, Jay White and Liz Cooper, with Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Welcome to another edition of Side Dish. I'm Jay White, and I'm here with my co-host, Liz Cooper. And back by popular demand, we have at the table with us...
Gary Crunkleton.
Yay!
One of my favorite people in Chapel Hill.
Gary is with The Crunkleton, which is a private club on Franklin. And before we get into the details of that, why don't you give us a little bit of background on how you got into this crazy business?
Well, thanks, Jay. Thanks, Liz. Thanks for having me. It's always good to be here with you all. Well, what started, the whole bar thing started, I've been bartending for a while since I was an undergrad at Carolina. And I met my wife, Megan. She's now my wife at the time. You know, I didn't know her, but I saw her. And we started dating. I fell in love. And I needed a career, and I didn't want to be a bartender because I felt like that just wasn't a worthy career to start a family and have the house, the White House, the picket fence, and all that. So I thought, well, I'll apply to law school. So I applied to law school at UNC, and I didn't get in. I got waitlisted, and literally waited by the phone all the way until like August 28th of 2008, whenever it was, and 2007, and didn't get in. So I thought, well, maybe this law school thing's not going to work. How about we start a bar? Because people had told me that I was a good bartender, and I'd been doing it for a while, and I just thought, well, I'll parlay my experience into a career. And so we started the Crunkleton. Now, I didn't want to call it the Crunkleton, but we would literally, Megan and I would have, oh, then Megan and I got married, and now we have three kids, and everything's good.
That's quite the sideline.
but I didn't want to call it the Crunkleton, but we would have dinner guests over. Like we might say, hey, Jay, hey, Liz, y'all come over for dinner. And after dinner, we would have fun with it, and I'd get a piece of paper out, and we would write down names that we thought I should call it the Crunkleton.
So it's a unique kind of sounding, fun kind of thing. It just happens to be your last name.
Yeah, people love it. I don't get it. I don't get it. But they love the last name. I don't know. There's a rap song called Get Crunk.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that – do you think that has anything to do with it? Because they think drinking.
Probably. It could be. I don't know. It's the whole calling
Liz,
it the
it's
crunk.
It's hard for me to take you seriously because I know anything that has anything to do with drinking, you're on.
I'm on it.
Yeah. You're so receptive to that.
I am. I'm very open to the drinking thing.
Was this – a family endeavor? Did you have investors? Starting a business is a big deal.
It was very hard at first. It was hard to find a place. And then after we found a location, then we started – well, we didn't sign the lease, but I had a vision of what I wanted to do. Then we started hitting everybody up for money. And if you were on our wedding guest list, you were – because we had your address. Everything was already set up.
Yeah.
So you were going to get asked for money. And we did – we did raise. We didn't get the actual money, but we did get promises for $66,000, which I thought was
That's
a nice compliment.
Pretty hefty sum to get started.
Yeah. But no, we never called in on that. We never. But then the well kind of was going dry. Everybody was writing, said, "Yeah, we love this. Is great, Gary. Blah blah blah. This is wonderful. We support you." But then we hit a plateau or something. And we weren't getting any calls, but callbacks, or no one was going to give us any money. And Megan's boss stepped up the plate and said he'll bankroll the whole thing at like 6% or some low interest rate. So he was sort of an angel investor. And then we've paid him off. We've gotten him out of the picture. And Megan, my wife and I, we own the bar. I'm 76% owner, and she owns 24%. And I always remind her of that. But that was like 6.5, 7 years ago.
I was going to say, how you've been at it. Is it 7 years it's been open?
It's been open this year, July. This July, it'll be 7 years.
Yeah.
And we've been very fortunate. A lot of people have been receptive to what we're doing. Not just the drinks, the cocktails, But the staff, and then the environment, the kind of the vibe we put out.
Let's talk about that a little bit. It's Mission Furniture. Yeah. It's a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Bring some class to Franklin Street.
Right. So, thanks.
So how did the Mission Furniture thing evolve?
Here's the deal. So I'm thinking, I have ADHD, and
no.
So get out.
So my attention, it's hard for me to stay focused on stuff. And it's so easy for me to get involved with, like, starting something new. It's great for me. I'll get an idea. Oh, let's do this. Let's do that. What's difficult for me is following through and sticking with it. So when I opened the bar, or when I came up with the idea of the bar, I had to create a place that every day I'd be excited to come to. Or else, you know, maybe in 2-3 years, I would just sort of lose interest and move on to the next thing.
Right.
And I couldn't do that because this was going to be – and it was money. It was a lot of money involved. It was like $380,000 involved. So it was a lot of money. So I had to set up a place that where every day I was excited to come to. And I really liked Mission Furniture. I owned some pieces of Mission when I was a bachelor. Antiques have always been fun for me. So I really liked Mission Furniture. And I really liked liquor. I liked walking in liquor stores and just looking at all the bottles and wish that I could taste, you know, all these different bottles.
This but is like a dream come true.
Sort of. Yeah, there's a lot of liquor on the wall. So really, Jay, it was set up. The atmosphere of the place was set up so that I would be excited to come to every day. And Mission Furniture was something I liked, and liquor stuff that I liked. And then another part of it, too, was – when I was single, it seemed like in Chapel Hill, if you were above the age of 27, so let's say 30-something, because that's a common catchphrase. Yeah. So if you're 30-something in Chapel Hill, it's a tough place for going out. When I was single, before I met Megan and we fell in love, and you know the three kids and all, I would go to 411 West to meet people, to meet ladies. Because it seemed like the place to go if you were 30-something. And this was in the 90s. So I would go to 411 West to meet people. And ends up, you know, I might get there and have a glass of wine. And then things weren't working out as planned. So someone next to me might have ordered some spaghetti or something. So I'm like, well, I'm hungry, so I'd order spaghetti. And then I'd eat all the spaghetti. And then I wouldn't feel attractive. I'd feel full. So then I'd go home and go, well, I'll try tomorrow night. Or the next night or whatever. So I wanted to create a place where in Chapel Hill where the 30-something crowd could go out and not have food and meet people. So that's kind of what set it up. And I think – I don't want to sound like a jerk, but I think it's a beautiful place. I'm very, very proud of it.
Well, hold that thought. We're going to have to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more specifics about how you have set up the Crunkleton. So you're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, brought to you by Southern Season.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White, and we're talking with Gary Crunkleton today. And Liz, I think you had a question.
So we've talked a lot about how the bar is set up, and it's a beautiful place. It's very classy looking.
I agree
that it definitely classes up Franklin Street. And for those of us who are not in our 20s, it is a nice refuge to be able to go and enjoy a cocktail in a great environment. And with that, I think it's important to bring up the sort of resurgence of the classic cocktail and how that's really helped to sort of bolster your business.
The fact that you said cocktail and not a beer or a glass of wine.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So that was a good they coincided, your opening and that resurgence, right?
That was serendipitous, I think. When I decided to open the bar, I wanted a place that was going to be, you know, a nice spot for 30-something and up. And it wasn't really like a swan song. I mean, it was kind of like my swan song, but I'm not dying. But I wanted it to be really, really, really nice. And I wanted people to be – I was very proud of what my plan was. And people had said, you know, the high-end cocktail bar with expensive furniture and rugs on the floor, that wouldn't work in a college town. students are going to break it, and super certain, you know, people are, the undergrads are going to break the expensive lamps, and people are going to get sick or whatever and mess things up. And I didn't think that was the case. Where I grew up in rural North Carolina in Lincoln County, my mom had a boss, and she lived in Charlotte, he lived in Charlotte rather, and they would ask us to their country club to swim in the pool. And I remember my mom, she wouldn't grab me by the ear, but it's as if she would grab me by the ear and say, "You're going over to that country club, and don't you act right. Don't let them know where you're from." So when I would go there, it was Carmel Country Club. When I would go there, I didn't act like some redneck from Lincoln County, because I didn't want them to know that I was a redneck from Lincoln County. So in this bar, I wanted to build a place that was – that was really, really nice, and as soon as you walked in, it kind of demanded a certain way to act. And I think as long as I did that, if I succeeded with that, I don't think people would mess up the lamps or spit on the floor or whatever, you know, people do at some of these young college bars. And it's been good so far. We've had some problems with somebody busted down a door in the bathroom one time, and we've had some lamps break. But you know, we get them fixed, and it works out okay. But I really feel
I feel like just the level of service and the level of cocktails that you offer bring people. You know, it asks for a certain amount of decorum.
Yeah,
Even when it's busy there, I don't ever see things being necessarily out of hand. And
it seems
I think
to
it's,
work, Liz.
I think it's the idea of I'm going in for. You know, and I know Jay has the menu here. You've got a really interesting menu. I mean. People actually now walk in and ask for an aviation cocktail, or they'll ask for the bee's knees. They ask for those classic, you know, post-prohibition and pre-prohibition cocktails, which, you know, again, you're not going to get a 21-year-old kid that's going to want to pay $12 for a cocktail. You know, hell, they could have 15 beers for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's so
and that's what
it definitely
after, right?
it sort of pushes those people to another place. Maybe
it's a model. It's a model that I think. To me, it just seems so simple. But people thought that it wouldn't work, and people thought that the college town, there wouldn't be a market for it here. Mm-hmm. But I believe that it would, and obviously, I thought it would work. That's why I did it. But we do have great cocktails, and it was just – the timing was just right. We opened in 2008, July 2008, and the cocktail movement, the Renaissance, had started – about 2002, but it was really starting to pick up some steam in around 2005. And all of this was in New York, Portland, Seattle, Boston. So I remember when our initial investor asked me who the competition is, you know, who's your competition on Franklin Street? I said, I don't have any competition on Franklin Street. We're going to create a place that's going to be unique to Chapel Hill. And frankly, I think our competition are these places – at employees only in New York and Dutch Kills in New York and bars in Seattle and Portland. And he didn't understand that. And I think maybe I was just too ignorant to know about business to think that, that's not really competition. Those are models or something. But it's worked well. And mm-hmm. And regarding the cocktails, Jay, you asked earlier before we were rolling – is it hard to do it? And it's so easy to make the cocktails. It's so easy. Once you develop the palate and once you know what the different ingredients taste like, it's easy to put them together. It's really, really easy.
I think the operative term there is developing the palate and understanding what those liquors actually taste like. You have to know what the base liquors and the mixtures, what they taste like before you can, in fact, put them together in a way that they marry.
There are some things that are hard. We did a Café Poussée cocktail. It's a drink it's an old drink. I don't know the history of it, but it's an old drink where it's layered.
Layered by the density of the Pousse Café. Right.
Yeah.
I grew up with a cocktail – with a cartoon on my aunt's bulletin board that was there for years. And as a child, I didn't get it. But there's this obviously kind of bimbo blonde coming up to a bar saying, "I'll have a Pousse Café on the rocks."
And yeah.
And I, you know, as a kid, I just thought, well, it must be some kind of funny. But now I learned what a Pousse Café was, I got the joke. But that's a real classic that takes time and a talented bartender to pull it off.
So these two ladies were in the bar. This was 2 days ago, and they were drinking. The lady was drinking a New Orleans Fizz, and the other lady was drinking a Sazerac. And you know, I don't know, maybe they're in their 70s, but she was talking – this one lady drinking the Fizz was talking about how her father taught her how to drink this drink when she was a teenager, and that the importance of this drink was that it was about quality and not quantity. And then the other lady said, well, my father liked this this Café Poussé cocktail or Pousse Café cocktail. And do you know how to make that, Gary? And I said, I've attempted it probably a dozen times, but I've gotten halfway into it and never been able to finish it because it stops layering. I said, let's try it now. And then she said, well, do you know the ingredients? I said, well, the ingredients change, but it's really about the gravity, one, right. The density exactly. of the liquor. Right. Now, when I think of density, I think of the alcohol content. So you have to line them up from the bottom to the top with the least alcohol to the highest concentration of alcohol, and then it all should layer. So in my attempts of doing it, I never completed it because it would blend. They would blend together. So then Lauren, the other bartender, she's a great coworker. She goes and looks it up to see how to make it, and which I don't do. I like to touch the stove and feel the heat a few times to learn. But she looks it up, and then she ends up making it. And so that's the first time I'd had one, although I'd tried a bunch. But it's not a delightful drink. It's very sweet.
Sweet, yeah. Very sweet. Mostly liqueurs. Well, we've come to the end of this segment, so we're going to go to break, and we'll be back, and we'll finish up with Gary talking about the Crunkleton. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, brought to you by Southern Season.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Liz Cooper. I'm here with my co-hosts Jay White and Gary Crunkleton.
Gary, before we have to wind up for the whole show, we need to talk a little bit about where it is, how people can find out more about it, and just address quickly the idea that it's a private club.
Well, thanks, y'all. Thanks for supporting the business. It is a private club, and the reason why it's private is North Carolina laws require that if you sell alcohol, not beer and wine, but if you sell alcohol, the hard stuff, you need to have 60% of your sales need to come from food.
Yeah.
And we don't have a kitchen. Thank goodness we don't have a kitchen. I would eat it all and be bigger than I already am. And I didn't know how to even run a kitchen. There's all that cost involved. So my model didn't support doing food. So we are a private club. We do memberships. It's $5 at the door, and you're a member for a year. And it's in real time. You can come by and then pay the money, and then you're good to go. Now, we also have – early on, I needed money when I was trying to get the business going. And we had Barstool memberships, which were $150. So for $150, you get your name put on the back of a Barstool on this copper hand-hammered nameplate. And then for, I think, $50 now, there's a vestibule membership where you get your name on the vestibule, which is the area just right when you walk in the door. Now, those aren't up right now. I took them all down. It was a bad idea that – that whole thing really took off and created a lot of work. So in a rush, I made the nameplates on brass nameplates and we had them on the wall. There were probably 2,000 of them on the wall, and people started taking them down and they were falling. So it didn't really work. And the brass didn't match the mission style, arts and crafts kind of feel that I was going for. Copper is more appropriate.
Right.
So now we're doing copper, hand-hammered copper nameplates, and there's probably 4,000 of them I have to put up, and I haven't done it yet.
But. So if you want to see those copper nameplates, you want to go to where?
Well, we're at the Crunkleton. We're at 320 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. We're right on Franklin. We're next to D.B. Sutton for your, you get your haircut there. And Mellow Mushroom, they have great pizza. And the Franklin Hotel is across the street.
And your website for it's, people that want to check out upcoming events?
Yeah, www.thecrunkleton, thecrunkleton.com.
And you've got some events coming up with Liz
at
the school, at the cooking school.
Yeah, class in Southern Season. And these are always, always popular. So when you go to Southern Season website, which is www.southernseason.com, and go to events and cooking school for Chapel Hill, go ahead and sign up now because we generally sell out and they are right. – We're just a lot of fun together.
You're guaranteed a good, fun evening with some libation.
Thank you. We Liz and I have good chemistry, and we put on a good show together. And the classes are a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've done barrel-aged cocktail classes, which you have barrel-aged cocktails at the bar, and that was really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we just did a gin class.
We did gin.
We have an upcoming julep class of flips and juleps.
Cocktails around the world we did. Yeah. We got in a plane and we flew all around
all
the world.
All over the place we did, and pretended to.
So obviously, folks, if you like to think about the classic cocktails and you want to treat yourself to one of the old standards or one of the new creations that Gary's staff comes up with, you need to visit the Crunkleton. So, Gary, thank you very much for joining us today, and
we'll
have to do it again soon.
Thank
You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, brought to you by Southern Seasons. Catch us again next week.